Welcome to this episode of Total Health with Dr. Cage. Today I'm going to talk about my new perspective on health and introduce you to my book, Heal Your Life, Heal the World. This series of podcasts will be exploring a lot of subjects pertaining to your health, your perceptions of your world, and your and our, all of humanity's, future. We're going to talk about things like what it takes to be truly optimally healthy, why most Americans and most people living anywhere in a so-called modern lifestyle probably aren't healthy, and why should we make the effort to be healthy in this world we have where it's increasingly difficult to do so. Before I really get started and dig into the core material of my messages, I'd like to start by discussing very briefly what is probably the main thing on your mind right now regarding the health of the world right now here in early 2022. Unless you've been living under a rock or in a cave the last 2 years or so and you just emerged, and miraculously this podcast is your first contact with human civilization, then you are aware of what some in the world are calling a pandemic of what is claimed to be a new deadly virus called the Coronavirus Disease 2019, or COVID for short. I will actually have some things to say about COVID at some point in this podcast series. COVID is not, however, my greatest concern, either for society as a whole or health in particular. And one thing I am suggesting is it shouldn't be your greatest concern either. All the reasons for this suggestion will become clear as we proceed through all the material I have to present over the next few weeks. For now, let's just say that being overly concerned about COVID and the mainstream rhetoric doesn't meet the criteria of being proactive about your health. That said, let's get started. What you're listening to now is actually the very first full podcast of this series. Podcast episode number one. Yes, I know I posted a short introduction video earlier, but this is number one. This overall podcast series is based on a few things. First, the name and the overall style is based on a live on-air radio show I had in Southern California on KCAA based in Loma Linda back around 2009 and 2010. That show's format was more of a call-in talk show format. This podcast is also based on more than 20 years of clinical practice I had as a naturopathic physician and acupuncturist. In practice, my specialties were endocrinology, gynecology, general internal medicine, and musculoskeletal pain. I'll also be drawing on my extensive background in the field of subtle energies, Chi, prana, or whatever name you choose to call it. I have more than 30 years experience in the martial arts, training and education in oriental medicine and acupuncture, as well as several systems of energy healing. I consider one of the great untapped resources of human health and our future to be a full understanding of human consciousness. A full understanding of our knowledge and study of consciousness is going to require us to deviate backwards in time to the European eras of medieval times and the Renaissance. As humanity began emerging, from the time known as the Dark Ages, and as modern science began to flex its wings, so to speak, the study of medicine was one of the areas that started to flourish. Pioneers began to explore the details of human anatomy so that surgery became more systematic and predictable, for example. Surgeons stopped gradually losing patients because they weren't being surprised that there were major blood vessels underneath what they're about to operate on and cut through. As these medieval philosophers and physicians documented their knowledge, they came to a realization that our mind and our spirit had a great deal to do with our health and our healing ability. This, unfortunately, is where the train started to run off the tracks, so to speak, because the field of medicine ran afoul of the Roman Catholic Church over this very issue. The church decided that the mind, the spirit, and the soul were the purview of the church, and these layman physicians were tinkering with the will of God. They decreed that physicians could work on the physical body, but the mind, the soul, and the spirit were the property of the church. And anyone who crossed that barrier ran the risk of being tried as a heretic and potentially burned at the stake. There were some medical researchers actually executed for their efforts. Why should the church's opinion have mattered, you might ask? After all, church didn't run the various countries. That was the job of kings. Well, medieval Europe was a very different time. While the church didn't run the countries, at least not on paper, they did run the kings. By holding the threat of excommunication over the heads of any king or nobleman who disobeyed church doctrine, the popes and the church were pretty much used to getting their way on just about everything. They wouldn't change, that whole situation wouldn't change for most of Europe and the Americas until the late 1700s and early 1800s, when citizen revolutions began replacing monarchies with democratic republics. So by now, I'm sure you're wondering, what does any of this have to do with human consciousness and the future of health? Well, it's precisely the reason that modern medicine evolved the way it did over the last 400 years or so. They very strictly adopted the model of human beings as having a physical body completely separate from the model of, from their minds, from a model of being more holistic and integrated. So the mind, the consciousness, the spirit, and the soul were separate and not connected to the body. The body, just a bag to carry the mind, the soul around in. This is important to understand here in modern times, because this mind-body separation is completely artificial. Our mind is actually integrated with the physical body at every possible level, from the whole organism through every organ and literally down to every cell. Our mind and consciousness also rely on our human energy fields, another subject not fully recognized by mainstream medicine, which this podcast will explore at depth in future episodes. The late 20th century saw a sudden resurgence of this knowledge, and we began having healers in every medical profession starting to investigate this strange new concept. They were investigating the strange new concept of the mind and the body being connected. Well, how could it be otherwise? The church, however, had said differently, that the body was nothing more than the fancy bag to carry the soul around in. And conventional medicine, most of it anyway, still has this same model rattling around in their heads, especially anything to do with mental health. We'll focus on that in a future podcast. One of the many things I found in my years of clinical work is that a vast majority of physical ailments in this country aren't actually physical ailments. Instead, a great many people are walking around are suffering from a disconnect from our true spiritual nature. We are beings of spirit and energy, not just physical beings. This disconnect causes our core nature to be in a state of turmoil. Whether we talk about consciousness or spirituality or any other term, the concepts are similar. There is more to health than our physical body. In this podcast series, I will be drawing on my experience in numerous areas to explore this and how it affects our overall health today. One of the major areas I am drawing on and referring to in this series of podcasts is the material in my book, Heal Your Life, Heal the World. This book represents a compilation of some of the main things I learned in my clinical practice, coupled with my knowledge and experience and research into human consciousness and spirituality. It includes what I have learned about this, that is the true potential for the human race. So before we go any further, I want to say just a bit more about this book as a whole before we delve into any of its specific content. When we holistic practitioners go to work helping patients, we usually don't see any easy cases. Easy cases that have one simple cause and can be fixed with one simple nutritional supplement or one herbal medicine or other natural remedy just don't walk into our offices. People with basic problems like that simply go to a health food store or supplement store where the clerk hands them a bottle of something. They go home, take it, and get well. Now, in some cases, maybe they had to go to the library or get on the internet first and then go to the supplement store. Either way, those were seldom my patients. Virtually none of the hundreds of other holistic practitioners I know ever have those types of patients walk in either. And maybe never is extreme, so 1 out of 1,000 is in the easy category. The other 999, though, were what any healthcare practitioner would describe as complicated. They often had 2, 3, or 4, and sometimes more, serious chronic illnesses, all at the same time. My intake form had about a half a page of space for them to fill in their chief complaints, the reasons they were coming in to get help. I often had people fill that out, and then the backs of 2 or more pages listing all their complaints. I think the record was one patient who had been to about 30 doctors seeking help and was just as bad or worse than when he started. One of the things he asked me was, "Do I need to provide all my records from all those other doctors before you can see me?" My response was, "Did any of them help you?" "Well, no," he replied. "Then I don't need to see their records," I told him. That particular case we'll definitely get back to in a later time in this series. Long story short, that patient was completely better after about 4 months of a proper diagnosis and real effective holistic treatment after having been sick for about 3 or 4 years. So I would get these complicated cases coming in with their 2 or 3 pages of chief complaints. And the main question in my mind was always, okay, where am I going to start with this person? Primary way the conventional medical system seems to work is that for every symptom you get a pill. 10 symptoms, 10 pills, and so on. Later, when some of those pills give you side effects, you get more pills for the side effects. And this process will continue indefinitely until you die, usually from side effects of the pills. Unfortunately, there's many supposedly natural practitioners can be very similar in their approach. For each symptom, you might get 1 or more nutritional supplements or herbs and so forth. More times than I could count, I had people bringing in a shopping bag full of prescription pharmaceuticals or a shopping bag of natural supplements for me to look at. Sometimes they would bring in both. And more often than not, none of that stuff had ever helped them. So the only thing I could do in these cases was fall back on basic holistic principles. This included things like timing. When did each symptom begin? What else happened about that same time in their life? And when in doubt, heal the gut. Finally, it was really important. I learned that I was taught well and learned by my own experience that you have to separate out the controlling or treating of symptoms from treating the underlying root cause. And this is something that my observation and many others that the conventional medical world does not bother with. One time, an elderly patient in her mid-80s came in. I'd been seeing her to assist with high cholesterol, and she called up and said she needed to come in for her IBS. IBS, or irritable bowel syndrome, is a name for a constellation of symptoms involving pain, inflammation, and other symptoms of your GI tract, such as diarrhea. Syndromes are basically a concept created by the conventional medical system when they can't figure out what's wrong with somebody. So you have a syndrome. We'll call your pattern of constellation of symptoms a syndrome and will sound more impressive. Well, my 80-something patient had begun having GI symptoms, gotten online, diagnosed herself with IBS. She then went and saw her insurance company doctor and told him, I have IBS. He took no history, ran no tests, did not perform any physical exams, and simply gave her a prescription for steroids, a common treatment in the conventional world for IBS symptoms. It basically turns off the immune system of the GI tract to lessen the symptoms, but does nothing for the real cause of the illness. Well, after a week on steroids, where she was no better, a friend suggested she go see that natural doctor she'd been talking about. And after a little, oh yeah, moment, she called up and came in. I'd seen her off and on for about 2 years, and she had never had GI symptoms at all. So in my mind, I was immediately suspicious about a potential diagnosis of IBS, which typically develops slowly over a long period of time. Well, within a few minutes of questioning her, I found out the symptoms had started just over a week earlier, the evening after she attended a church picnic. When I asked her what she had eaten at the picnic, sure enough, the classic of potato salad left out in the sun all afternoon came to light. I told her she didn't have IBS, she had food poisoning. So we ran a stool culture, and while we waited for that to come back, I immediately started on a protocol for GI infections, which involved probiotics and some general antimicrobial herbs and a soup-based diet. Then, when the culture results did come back, I put her on a more specific antibacterial herbal regimen. Within a few days, 3 or 4 days, she had reported she was about 75% better, and that was before we even had the test results back. So that's when, that 3 or 4 day period, that's about when I started her on the additional herbs. A week later, she was completely fine. Ignoring the food poisoning and relying on steroids might very well have killed this woman. Now, the key mistake in this case wasn't the patient diagnosing herself. Instead, it was the first doctor she saw who relied on that diagnosis and never did his job. Take the history, perform physical exams, perform labs as appropriate, then you get to make a diagnosis and prescribe appropriate treatment. That's what's supposed to happen in every single case. Over my first few years in practice, I actually saw a lot of cases that were way more complicated than this one. Sometimes it simply wasn't possible to make just one diagnosis, so treating using natural principles was the only way. I would usually lay out a plan for patients that involved a certain amount of time to get them on basic nutrition, basic supplements, and eventually some type of detoxification program. Not everybody's ready for a detox when they first see a natural health care provider. Detoxifying could be energy depleting, and if somebody's already weakened and they don't have much energy, a detox program could actually make them worse. Then I would tell them, when they were a bit more stable, a couple months perhaps, we would get started on the specifics of their underlying diseases, whether it was heart disease or arthritis or whatever else it was. When they were told what the long-term prognosis was, which was usually good, the overall program might require 6 to 12 months or more, most people were fine with that estimate. They were just pleased that I thought I could help them and could explain what was really going on in terms they could understand. What started happening next, though, was surprising to me. 2 or 3, maybe 4 months into a 6 or 12 month program, the patients would disappear. They weren't coming back to complete their program. I was mystified. Most of them had started making good progress. I would rack my brain and pore over the charts, looking for anything I might have missed. And this scenario began to happen more and more. Then, further on down the road, something even more curious started to happen. A year or 2 years after I last saw them, sometimes more, I began getting calls from these same patients who had dropped out of their long-term treatment plans, dropped out by my estimate, and I'd get on the phone with them, hey doc, this is so-and-so, can I come in and see you? Well, sure. Then before they came in, I'd review their charts, wondering how much of a setback they had suffered and whether or not we had to start all over at the beginning. When the patients arrived, however, I had to hear some version of, oh, no, 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 all that old better. I'm coming in because I sprained my knee skiing or rollerblading or hiking. In one instance, it was playing ice hockey. I got these complaints from people who a year or two earlier, they could barely walk. They could barely get out of bed, let alone play ice hockey. And after talking to them, I'd find out that all the symptoms or the complicated cases of multiple chronic diseases had just gone away. Well, I know you said it would take 9 months, but I was better in 3, so I just stopped coming in. And I heard that story over and over. It was enlightening for me in a number of ways. Most particular in reaffirming to me that this old-time holistic medicine I was using actually worked. At some point, probably while I was on a vacation when I had a few days to myself, I sat back and really analyzed what I was doing and how I was working with patients. I realized I was giving almost every patient the same information. A nutritional lecture about food quality, a nutrition lecture about supplements and essential nutrients, vitamins, minerals, and so forth. A detoxification lecture, a mind-body-spirit lecture, an exercise lecture, and so forth. Then, depending on the conditions, I had a GI tract health lecture, a joints and arthritis lecture, a thyroid lecture, women's health lectures, and a weight loss lecture. Almost everyone coming through my door needed at least several of these lectures, and I'd been giving them one at a time to patient after patient. I'd given each of these lectures hundreds, if not then a few of them, thousands of times. I've given my nutrition lectures thousands of times. So my big idea at that point in my life was to get groups of people together and give them all the lectures over a weekend. So instead of giving one lecture one person, I'd have one lecture maybe 2 or 3 dozen people. I would combine that with serving healthy food that tasted good to impress them that healthy food can taste good. Then I would make desserts out of healthy ingredients so they would know their favorite good tasting treats could actually be healthy. I did these health retreats for a while, usually to, a few dozen people, and they were successful, but I realized I had a powerful message here and I needed to package this information and get it out to a wider audience. So that is how my book, Heal Your Life, Heal the World, came to be. It starts with all the information contained in all those lectures on holistic health. I gave all those thousands of patients over almost 20 years of clinical practice. This information is based on what actually worked to get sick people well. This isn't theories out of textbooks written by someone who's never treated patients. In many cases, it's not even what they taught me in naturopathic school or acupuncture school. While I found most of the information taught in the holistic medical schools to be very useful as a starting point, it hadn't been enough. Not when I had chronic patients with 3, 4, 5 or more chronic diseases at the same time coming in to see me saying, they sent me home to die, now what do I do? When I finally retired from clinical practice, probably 75% of what I did, the types of therapies I used, my clinical approaches, were made up of things I learned in the trenches. Sometimes I would pick the brains of all the old timers I met. And over the years, I found there was a great deal of advanced information out there somewhere that wasn't being taught in the schools. And I ate it up. Whenever I could find it, I would read more and take more seminars and take more classes. In Heal Your Life, Heal the World, I also discussed an important question, which is, why should we all be working to restore and maintain health? Sometimes these are the kind of unasked questions which open the doors to higher levels of understanding. The answer to this question, it turns out, is based in a part of life that a great deal of society just doesn't want to talk about anymore. The mainstream media in particular, it turns out, is especially rabid in their attempts to suppress the knowledge that is the answer to this question, why be healthy? So what's the reason, I'm sure you're asking right now? The key answer is this. You need to be healthy so you can accomplish your true spiritually based purpose in life. Historically, religion and spirituality were a huge part of human life throughout most of recorded history. This was considered so important that the founders of this country made religious freedom the very first thing they put in the Bill of Rights. Over time, however, we've seen our society become more secularized. Mainstream media seems to treat religion and spirituality as an annoying hindrance that our supposedly enlightened mainstream society has to put up with, a sort of quaint folklore held by anyone who holds religious or spiritual beliefs. Huge portions of the country, and indeed many other parts of the world, just don't involve themselves with any aspects of religion and spirituality. What I present in Heal Your Life, Heal the World is hopefully a more complete and holistic view of spirituality and religion. I make the case that this, in fact, is the true purpose of humanity. Both individually and collectively, we have a spiritual purpose for being here on this planet at this time that will revolve somehow around the future direction of the human race. And to be optimally successful, each of us needs to keep ourselves optimally healthy. I've found in my own life, as well as seen in countless patients, that only by embracing our true spiritual purpose in life can we be optimally healthy. We are holistic organisms, intimately connected in our physical bodies, our mind and emotions, and our spiritual natures. We don't just get to turn off one or more of these and focus only on the others. Each part of our makeup supports and promotes all the others. So, Heal Your Life, Heal the World contains the bulk of the information I use to help so many chronically ill patients recover, often fully, without ever even formally treating their diseases. To help you start navigating this information, I want to give you an overview of my book. Of course, I recommend you buy it and read it. If you do, A, thank you very much, and B, it will help you achieve a much higher state of health and an understanding about health than you probably imagined. If you end up enjoying this podcast series and finding this information useful, the book will help you engage with this material at a much richer and more powerful level. So, very quickly, chapter one, I talk about the concept of what is health. I introduce holism, the notion that everything is interconnected and that the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. I review the state of health of our country and the world today and point out that rather than improving, the health of the U.S. is declining. This basic information sets you up to be able to put all the other subjects into a better perspective. Then I delve into the core material that made up all those health discussions with those thousands of patients. Chapter two, I look at physical health and include some material I had in my healthy food lecture, as well as my need for nutritional supplements lecture. I present the information about the degradation of our farming soils, nutrient deficient foods, processed foods, genetically modified foods, and all the types of the foods which historically have led to the longest lived and healthiest populations in the world. Chapter three concerns our mental and emotional health. Many overlaps here between these fields and our physical health. Studies have shown, for example, that when mental patients have been treated for nutrient deficiencies, food allergies, or other nutritional problems, as many as 60% no longer have diagnosable mental illnesses. Culture and the beliefs a society shares, our paradigms, can also interfere with our proper mental and emotional functioning. These are some of the areas I explore when analyzing our mental and emotional health from a more holistic perspective. Chapter four is where I delve into the spiritual nature of humanity. This perhaps isn't the most popular of subjects these days, especially if you focus on what mainstream media tells us. When talking to people, however, I find many who are hungry for valid information on the spiritual nature of our world, the universe, and humanity. I've adopted an approach to be as inclusive as I can, to be as non-denominational as I can, and at the same time, be as honest as I can about what I know to be the truth about all these subjects. This chapter will, if I was successful, assist you with your spiritual aspects of life, whether you are a long-time seeker or are just awakening to your true spiritual nature. Chapter 5 moves on to talk about your energetic health. This is new to a lot of people. If your first thought on hearing this term is, "What the heck is energetic health?" you're not alone. This chapter is based on the reality that we are not merely physical beings. In addition to the physical body, which we can see and touch, we also have, all of us, a form of subtle energy flowing in our bodies. The ancients called this energy chi or prana or the vital force or one of many dozens of other names found in various indigenous cultures around the world. In addition to the energy moving through us, we also possess a series of higher frequency bodies associated with our physical one. This subject field is vast. I focus on merely an introduction in Heal Your Life, Heal the World, because to do it justice would require several books the size of this one. I focus on presenting the ideas along with some of the best scientific validation for qi and how these different fields and energies affect our health. Chapter 6 focuses on the three areas of greatest concern, one of the three areas of the greatest concern of our modern chronic disease epidemic, which is environmental toxins. For those keeping score at home, poor quality nutrition was the first. I present the data to the show that in the last 100 to 150 years, we have been inundated in our environment by toxins, our soil, our air, our water, thousands of toxic chemicals that didn't exist at any prior time in human history and which our bodies are not well adapted to deal with. These toxins can cause many forms of illnesses, some of them serious. In Chapter 7, I deal with the third of the three areas most responsible for our modern ill health crisis, which is vaccinations. This is possibly the most controversial single subject in the book, although a lot of people have told me it's my claim that chronic diseases such as diabetes, heart disease, and cancer are preventable and/or reversible using natural and holistic methods. Historically, vaccinations were an attempt to circumvent the horrors of the so-called infectious disease era, when plagues and diseases were the number one cause of human death. At some point, however, the manner in which they were used and administered, combined with their toxic ingredients, has resulted in vaccinations becoming one of our largest causes of ill health. This is especially true for the long-term, slow-onset chronic diseases. Vaccinations set us up for lifelong ill health. I'm aware that this may not be a popular point of view these days, but believe me, I haven't taken an unpopular position on a whim. My entire scientific and medical career has led me to these conclusions, and in Chapter 7, I believe I present ample evidence to back up all my claims. Before you ever vaccinate yourself or your family ever again for anything, you owe it to yourself to read Chapter 7. Keep in mind, too, that this was written and published well before the COVID situation ever reared its ugly head. Chapter 8 is when I move into a concept not often discussed in books on health, which is the health of communities and populations. It isn't enough for one person to be healthy when they're surrounded by an entire population of unhealthy people. We need everyone to be healthy. The future of the human race literally depends on it. At this point, after Chapter 8, you'll be three-fourths of the way through the book, and you'll have been exposed to a great deal of new information. These data are complicated, though straightforward. The rest of the book is devoted to teaching you how to implement all this information. Chapter 9 goes into the details of how to live a healthy, holistic lifestyle. Chapter 10, How to Deal with the More Serious Chronic Diseases. Chapter 11 is called Case Studies in Holism, where I walk through a few examples of how do we apply this new higher level of thinking about health and consciousness into different areas of life. And finally, a very short chapter, chapter 12, is called the Humanity Manifesto, which is a new code of living that I believe will be required if humanity is to survive, and which I submit for your perusal. I hope this introduction to this series of podcasts will pique your interests. I hope my introduction to my book, Heal Your Life, Heal the World, also interests you enough to read it and apply it in your life. If so, please subscribe to this podcast so you automatically get all the updates. If you are interested in an optimal life, please read my book. It's available on all the major online booksellers. My description of that can be found on my website at www.drcagesays.org. That's drcagesays.org. If you're ready to engage a little more in depth, I've also launched an online health community, which is aimed at exploring all these subjects in depth, covering more details than I had room for in the book. You can find this at www.patreon.com/drcagesays. Thank you for listening. Please subscribe and tune into my future podcasts. And until then, this is Dr. Cage, wishing you good health.